We are honored to have Brother Estes. He's going to share the Word of God. And when he comes through and shares the Word of God, people are always helped. And I believe God wants to help folks tonight. Let's listen to the Word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord tonight? You can truly depend on Jesus, friend. You cannot depend on the things of this world. Don't put your hope and confidence in man, but I can assure you, if you'll look unto the Lord, He will guide your foot. He will guide your steps, and He's never failed. I said never, never failed. Amen. We are glad to be with you again. We heard you all were in a little bit of a drought, so by way of Hurricane Isaac, we tried to send you a little bit of rain up here. Did our best. It was a little bit too much for us, so we tried to get it out as soon as we could. Didn't do too good of a job. But we are glad to be here in beautiful Ohio, and it's a beautiful time of year to be here. Amen. And so we just had a few days to come on by, and I'm so glad to be able to be here for the Wednesday night service. I appreciate that so very much, Brother Hurst. I always enjoy being able to preach the Word of God here and thank the Lord for what He's done in times past. And I'm looking for the Lord to help someone in this house tonight. Amen. Now, I realize that it's a midweek service. And I realize on the midweek service night, traditionally, we'd not reach for the backslider. We'd not reach for the lost. But if you'll allow me, please, to step outside of the norms, I want to reach tonight for somebody. Turn with us, please, to the book of Psalms, the 137th division. The book of Psalms, 137. I enjoyed all the singing tonight. I wanted to make mention that what a beautiful way to begin this service, singing about the precious Lord Jesus. The choir and singing. And Sister Erica, I've never heard my wife sing that. That was a beautiful song. I believe it's very fitting tonight. And Olivia and Katie, I'm not leaving you out either. I just want to make sure everything's smooth there. Psalms 137, I trust that you're there. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse number 4. How shall we sing? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It's a rhetorical question. How can we sing of freedom and deliverance when we're in a land of bondage? The answer is simple. You cannot sing when your song's been broken. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord had helped me, on broken songs and backslidden souls. Broken songs and backslidden souls. Are you going to help me tonight? Church, I need your help tonight. Let's slip up our hands to heaven. Let's believe God to move and help in the remainder of this service. Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank God for the sweet spirit of the Lord that we sense right here. I thank God for all that you've done for us. Lord, the many times you've come down, the many times you've shown goodness and mercy, the many times you've shown grace. And I pray tonight that you would reach way down. Lord, you are perfectly willing to leave 99 and go find one. And I ask you in the name of Jesus that your anointing would be upon us. Give us words, God, fitly spoken, and an anointing, God, to preach your word. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. And everyone said amen. Shake somebody's hand as you're being seated. Tell them, I'm glad to see you tonight in God's house. That's it. You can talk to them. I didn't say text them. You can talk to them. It's the cross before me, The world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. You know, when that really is the case, I can assure you, it's joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. When you've made up your mind that I'm going to walk with God, when you've made up your mind that I'm tired of this old sin-sick world, and I'm tired of the way that I was living, and I want to know that I'm right with God, and I want to know that my sin's underneath the blood. And when a man's truly born again, you don't have to come up and try to convince that man that he's saved. He knows that he's saved. Amen. When someone truly has an experience with God, there's a testimony that burns down deep inside. They may not be able to articulate it. They may not be able to show it to you. But friend, there's a change in their life. And oh, what a mighty change that it is. And I thank God that when God saves men and women, He's able to deliver and able to set free someone. Say amen. But beloved, hear me tonight. When it ever becomes the world before me and the cross behind me, I can assure you, no matter how many times that man walks in that door with a smile on his face, he has lost his joy. He has lost his song. He has lost his peace. He has lost that drive that gave him such joy. When he lets go of God and is brought into captivity, he loses his joy. He loses his song. Friend, tonight we read of a story. It's a very tragic story. God had given His ancient people Israel. He'd given them a land. He'd given them a law. He'd given them a Lord. But they defiled that land. They denied that law. They defied their Lord. And God allowed people of the Babylonians to come in and to take them away and bring them out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which would represent the holy city, the city where the saints were, the city where salvation was, the city where singing was. And now they're brought into Babylon, and it represents a vexation, a vice, a viciousness, if you will. They're brought into captivity, and they're taken away, and the instruments that they had to make joy is now put on the harps. They're now put on the willows, and now they're being told, sing unto us. And they say, we have lost our song. We do not have a song anymore. We do not have the joy that we had. Beloved, hear me. Any time the enemy takes a man captive, he loses that, and he does not have that joy. Friend, have you been overtaken, not by the Babylonians, but by the world, the flesh, the devil? Have you allowed something, young person, to come into your life that would separate between you and God, and to lose that song that was once so much a part of your life? That's something that was on the inside of you, where you said, I've got a reason to live, and I've got joy that's unspeakable, and it's full of glory. Friend, hear me. God allowed them to be taken captive by the enemy. God allowed them to be removed from that land. And the same way, when man wanders off into sin, God allows that song and joy to be taken from the inside. Friend, hear me tonight. We've got men and women that can walk inside of our churches, and they can put on the best smile they can find. They can clap when we clap our hands. They can even lift up a hand every now and again. But I can assure you, standing on God's word tonight, look, beloved, I submit to you this evening, number one, there is a sad misery inside every backslider. Amen. I said there's a sad misery inside the heart of every man and woman that has walked away from God Almighty. Say amen to me, somebody. Verse number one, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. Yea, we wept. Somebody said, well, Brother Zane, the most miserable man in the world has got to be that rank sinner. He's never walked inside the doors of a church. He's never listened to one gospel message. He's got to be the most miserable man that's ever lived. Brother Brian, I say to you, yes, he's a miserable man, but according to 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. I submit to you, the most miserable man in the world is not the rank sinner that's never heard the gospel. It's somebody that once knew the Lord and has walked away. It's somebody that once praised him and has walked away. It's somebody that once walked with him but now has left him. They're the most miserable men and women in the world. That rank sinner doesn't know the sorrow and misery of that man that's walked away from God. You hear me tonight, beloved? Years ago, I was at a revival, and there was a young lady, and on a Sunday night, first Sunday night of that revival, she come and gave her heart. I mean, everything got right between her and God. And she stood and testified after that service was over with. I did my best to write it down as close as I could what I remember her saying. She stood on this side of the church. She had tears coming down the sides of her cheek. She said, "Don't let anyone ever tell you that it's easy to backslide." She said, "It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. You have to try to convince yourself every day that you're not going to die and go to hell. You have to try to come to church and you have to try to tell yourself that everything that you're saying is for somebody else. And on the way home, you have to try to convince yourself that it was all a coincidence that he said what he said while you were there. But all the time down deep inside, you know it was God. Hey, beloved, it's not a coincidence you came. It's not a coincidence you walked in. God, in his mercy, in his love, in his willingness, has drew you and said, I'm not going to let you go. If you'll come to me, I'll forgive you. I'll make you right. I'll bring you back. Don't you want your song again?" Friend, hear me. Laughter is not joy. You can laugh your way into hell. You can't laugh your way out of hell. Friend, some people laugh just to try to cover over the heartache that they're facing. Ecclesiastes 7:6 said, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This is also vanity." Friend, hear me. You can't laugh your way out of God trying to deal with you. You can't laugh your way into a peaceful night's sleep. You can't laugh your way into heaven. You can't laugh your way out of the troubles of this world. Come on here. It's God saying you may be giddy, but giddy ain't joy. Let me tell you something, beloved. Laughter isn't joy in and of itself. Giddiness isn't joy in and of itself. Hey, happiness isn't joy in and of itself. Your friend, we get that word happy from the word happenstance. It's, in other words, it's what's happening around you that's going to affect how you're acting. There's been times I've had joy even when I didn't have anything to be happy about. Say amen. I still had my joy even though things weren't happy. I still had my joy. Why? Because I had my Jesus. I had my song. I had my peace. I had my Savior. Can you say amen? I had joy when I didn't have too much to clap my hands over outside of Jesus. I've had my joy when I've had more month at the end of the money. I've had my joy when doctors said, "We don't think this is going to work out, and that doesn't look too good." I've still had my joy. Amen. Friend, success doesn't bring joy. Are you hearing me tonight? Success doesn't. It brings a diminishing return. You can do it and do it and do it, and it gets has less of a thrill and less of a thrill. But Jesus Christ is the joy that you're looking for. Jesus Christ is that gap you're searching for. It's the love of God that you've been missing. That's what you gotta come back to. How can you have joy? Dear mercy, son, how can you have joy with this? It's not because things are so good on the external out here. It's because I've got Jesus. And so long as I have him, we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to make it. I can't give you a blueprint and give you all 26 points of it. I can't show you A, B, and C and subpoint and sub-subpoint. But I know if I've got Jesus and He's got me and I'm seeking Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness, all these other things are going to be added unto me, and He's going to meet my need, and He's going to show me what He wants me to do, and He's going to lead me by His mercy. If I just hold on to Him, I'll keep that joy. Brian, I was in England many years ago. I was in transit on the way to a ministry stop. Well, I had a 12-hour layover. I'm not going to sit in an airplane for 12 hours. I'm just a little too fidgety, huh? And so I got up and started looking around. And I went by and I'd seen Buckingham Palace. And all those guys were standing out there. Boy, they're standing up. So those, the guys with the big erasers on their head, those guys. And they're standing there, and other people, they're right up against that gate. And I look, and that Union Jack, that British flag, it's not flying. That British flag wasn't flying up there. And I thought, well, that's a little odd. Why isn't their flag flying up? In America, if there was a tragedy, at least we'd have half mast. But there's no flag. Well, I look over, and there's an Englishman next to me. And I asked that man, I said, I'm just curious. How come you don't have a flag flying over Buckingham Palace? That man told me, he said, sir, he said, the only time we fly that flag is if the Queen is right there inside that house. If she's not in residence, we do not fly that flag. Can I tell you something, beloved? There's a little bitty song sung by little bitty people for a long, long time. And it said, joy is a flag flown from the castle of my heart that the King is in residence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why you got joy? Because I got Jesus. Why you got joy? Because I got my Savior. Why you got a song? Because I got a Savior. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah! If He's in there, it's fly. Friend, hear me tonight. God loves you too much to let you have your sin and your song. God cares for you too much to allow you your sin and your song at the same time. God says, I care for you enough that I'll turn your world upside down. I'll crash your hopes. I'll crush your dreams. Not because I hate you, because I love you. Because I care for you. And if you've got the touch of mold, a touch of gold, God will say, I'll give you the touch of mold just to bring you back to me and to let you know the road that you're going down you don't want to go, and the way that you're going you don't want to follow, and you don't want to start yoking up with the people that don't believe in the things of God, and you don't want to start making them your best friends, and you don't want to start making them the influences in your life. You'd rather say, I'd want to walk with men and women that are on fire for God and love Him with all their heart, because if I hang around them, I think I'm going to sing a little better. I'm going to have a little greater joy, because I know we can be in His presence together and God can minister through one another. God tells him in Jeremiah 25 verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my word, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant. God calls that wicked king my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishing and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Verse number 10. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth. Mirth means rejoicing. It means joy. I will take from them the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, the light of the candle. God says, I'll take it from them. God says, I gave you a land, I gave you a Lord, I gave you a law, but you would not heed. Now I will take from you the mirth, and joy that you once had. Friend, I don't care how many times they have a painted smile when they walk through that door. I don't care how many times they have a cheesy grin when they say good morning. Deep down inside the heart of every backslidden man and woman is an incontestable, irrefutable, undeniable misery. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered. Friend, inside the heart of every backslider, there is a sad misery right over here. There is a stinging memory. We wept when we remembered. You know what's amazing? You come across people, you know, and they ask you, what do you do? I'm the preacher. And then they start talking to you, and I'm telling, it's not, most of them don't even just say, well, I was in church. Most of them, I don't know why. They always have a way of coming back. You know, I grew up Pentecostal. Well, you know what? My grandma took me to her church, and they were one of those shouting churches. And they had this look in their face. And they try to get real dignified again. But you know, right underneath that skin, there's things going over in their mind. That used to be me that worshiped God. That used to be me that shouted around those altars. Well, Brother Zane, I don't shout. Dear Mercy, did you weep?
Did you weep?
And then you know deep down in your heart that was you that used to weep freely. That all God had to do was tap you on the shoulder and you'd say, yes, Lord, me. Yes, Lord, you need me. All God had to do was touch your heart and you'd say, yes, Lord, me. Lord, there's a stinging memory inside the heart of every backslidden man and woman that knows what it was once like to have a touch of God upon their soul, to know what it was once like to hear the voice of heaven, to know what it was once like to get up off an altar and feel clean and lay your head down at night and feel peace, and it never gets away. There's a stinging memory. And here tonight,
somebody in this house, there's a stinging memory of what it was once like before you left. We're preaching revival West, I'll leave it at that, huh? We're friends with the pastor and his wife. Sister Erica, you remember that? There's a lady that led song service. Two of her boys got baptized in the Holy Ghost the week we were there in the revival. Her daughter got baptized in the Holy Ghost the week after the revival. And 9 months later, she backslid on God. And the pastor and his wife went to where her and her husband, they were in a business, and went to where they worked. The pastor and his wife looked and said, we start revival next Sunday with Brother and Sister Estes. We sure would love for you to come. And that lady looked up at her former pastor and she said, preacher, I'm not about to step foot in that church. And the pastor's wife said, but why? And the lady said back to her, she said, because if I do, it'll eat me alive. It'll eat me alive. And I said, oh God, that's what I wanted to do. I'm not talking about condemnation, but conviction. Oh, God. Let me tell you something, beloved. When they walk inside this church, there ought to be something on the inside that says, that used to be me. That used to how I used to worship. They ought to not be able to sit down and feel comfortable in captivity into Babylon. They ought to be willing to say, Lord, let me come back to my first love. Let me find you again. Lord, there's a stinging memory, and the spirit that I feel right here was what I used to feel. That's what they ought to be crying.
We went to the Pentecostal Fire Conference first time last year. First time we ever got to go. And we're honored. I mean, there's over 5,700 people there last year. We're honored to be able to be one of the speakers at it for next year. I'm very honored for that. But when we were there,
You know, you meet so many people. You can't see the forest for the trees, you know. And everybody's shaking your hand. Hey, Brother Zane. Hey, Sister Erica. And so on and so forth. And the one question they'd always ask us, how many times have you got to come to this? And we said, this is the first year we've ever got to come. First year we've ever got to go. And don't get me wrong. Please, time out. I'm not talking about the majority. I'm talking about a very, very slim minority. But some of them would look at us and they say, oh, Brother Zane, I go every year. And some of them that I'm looking at are folks that I've preached revivals for years gone by. And they've moved away so much from what they once were. And they've taken on so much of the world and listened to so much Lady Gaga, Goo Goo, whatever it is, and taken on everything that every country star and Hollywood star can think of, that I'm looking at and I'm telling you, I can't even recognize who they are. I don't even remember where they were. And I'm thinking, Brother Brad, I'm thinking to myself, why do you keep coming back to this? Why do you keep putting yourself right here? Why would they keep coming back? They know what they're going to hear. They know what's going to be said. I'll tell you why they keep coming back. Because somewhere down deep in their heart, they know that used to be me. I used to pray like that. I used to cry like that. There's a stinging memory that's never got out. Why do they keep coming back? Because down deep in their heart, there's something that stings them. And they say, when I remember what it was like to really be free. By the rivers of Babylon, there we wept. When we remembered, move on, Brother Zane, I will. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth. Sing, do it. Sing. Go ahead, do it now. Sing one of those songs of Zion like you used to. Friend, if the devil can ever pull you away from walking with God, I can assure you there's a sad misery. There's a stinging memory. There's a sarcastic mockery. And the devil knows how to pour on guilt. And the devil knows how to twist your mind. And the devil, listen, beloved, there are some people, I can assure you, God is more willing to forgive them than they are willing to forgive themselves. The enemy screams in their ear and says, yeah, you go pray now. You go do that. It's a mockery. That's what he's doing right here. He's mocking them. He's saying, you've lost your song. You put your willy on the willow on the harp. You've lost your joy. Go ahead and sing now. Friend, can I tell you, it's a trap of the enemy to allow that condemnation to stay upon your heart. It's God's will you get your song back. It's God's will you get your joy back. It's God's will you live free. It's an old trick. He pulls them out. And whatever he pulls them out with, that's what he turns around and throws in their face. And says, sing now. Nobody even cares for you at that church. I mean, after all you've put in, they think somebody would at least recognize you. Listen, put all that down and come with me. And once he gets them out, he says, now listen, don't you even think about calling anybody in that church. Don't you even think about every time before he's telling them, listen, nobody wants to communicate with you. And now he's the one saying you can't communicate with them. It's a sarcastic mockery. It's a twisting of the devil. Are you hearing me tonight? That's what the enemy desires to do. He desires to pull men away from God. He desires to put them in captivity. And once he does, there is a sarcastic mockery and cruelty that he has about his nature. Are you there tonight? Help me, Holy Ghost. Have you heard the sarcastic mockery from Satan himself? You'll never be able to sing with an anointing You'll never be able to raise your hands and feel clean. Let me tell you something, brother. There's not a soul in this house that's good enough to lift up holy hands. There's not a soul in this house that's too good to get saved. And there's not a soul in this house that's too bad to get saved. Amen. Come on here, friend. There's a God that says, I am willing. If you'll quit listening to the lies of the enemy, He is willing to give back to you the joy that the enemy would take away. I'm closing. Give me a moment. Verse number 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Friend, inside the heart of every backslider, there's a sad misery. There's a stinging memory. The devil's sarcastic mockery. Listen. How shall we sing? There is a silenced melody, and that's how Satan wants it for the rest of your life. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. How can they sing a song of deliverance when they're in captivity? Friend, do you know what the Lord's song is? It's the song of deliverance. The first song you ever see in the Bible, it's in Exodus chapter number 15, and it's the song of deliverance. They've been brought out of Egypt. They've been delivered from the mighty hand of Pharaoh, and they're singing about their deliverance. Go all the way to the back of the book. It's in the book of Revelation, the last song that we ever see in God's divine word. Guess what? They're singing about deliverance from cover to cover. Their song is, I'm washed, I'm free, I'm born again, I'm delivered. He made a new man. Somebody give him praise. If you're saved, I didn't ask if everything was going good, and I didn't ask if, man, you can whistle a merry tune and high five everybody on the way into church because you've had such a great week at work. That ain't what I'm talking about, friend. But if you're truly born again, I can assure you there's a song, a melody down deep in your soul that the devil didn't give and the devil can't take away. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it out. Hallelujah. If you're really saved, there's a joy that's somewhere down deep that no devil in hell can shake. You've been delivered. Friend, you have a song. Psalms 40 and 3. And he shall put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. When God brings them out, he puts them on a solid rock. And friend, when it comes to that song, you listen to me. Sorrow can't shake it. Suffering can't take it. And sickness can't break it. Amen. Come on here. I'm not saying there's not heart. Jesus, he's looking at bloody Calvary. He's looking at dark Gethsemane. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's around the corner. But in Matthew chapter 26, I believe it's verse number 30, they say, come on, let's sing a song together. Hey, Jesus, wait. Don't you know what's around the corner? I know what's facing me, but I know what I have. Hallelujah! He knows what's coming. And it still doesn't take his song. Oh, Paul and Silas. Get some stocks and bonds with me. There you go. You want to be Paul? You want to be Silas? You be Paul. Paul! How'd we get in this mess? I'm telling you what. If I'd known better, I never would have left the university. I knew you were a Fruit Loop. I should have never got on this bandwagon. I can't stand in this. You be Silas. I go out of my way to bring a young man on the ministry field with me, and all I get is bragging and complaints. I'm telling you what, I hope this man is left-handed, because when he comes by, you're going to get the first whack saying, that's not what they're saying.
There's Silas. And there's Paul. And I don't know who starts it first. I don't know if it's Silas that looks at Paul or Paul that looks at Silas. And they said, man, we've been in some tight spots, ain't we, bro? Yeah, man, we've been in some tough jams. I don't know if we're going to get out of this. Well, that's all right. To die is gain. Come on here. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. I tell you what, Silas, why don't we just go ahead and sing what's burning on the inside of your soul? Hallelujah. They know what's around them. And before you know it, the shackles break loose and they're praising God. Hallelujah. It's the song that Jesus is with them. Thank you, son. And even when the sickness of life comes and takes dear loved ones, friend, we sorrow. We're not robots. You cut us, we bleed. But we don't sorrow as those having no hope. And when we looked at precious loved ones that are going to the other side, there may be sadness, but that doesn't mean Satan has stole my song. And though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed. I once heard a very elderly pastor, and a young preacher came by, and that elderly pastor's laying on his deathbed, and Brother Jacob, that young pastor leans over that very elderly minister. God's seen mighty miracles in his life, and the young preacher just asked him, he said, sir, I just want to know, what's the greatest spiritual experience you've ever had with God, sir? Brother Norvell, the elder man took a deep breath and lifted his little finger up to heaven, and he said, son, it's just about to happen. I'm not saying we don't have sorrow. I'm not saying we don't have heartache. I'm not saying we don't have pain. But friend, I got something the world didn't give me. I got something the world can't take away. I got something Satan didn't purchase for it. Friend, I've got something that was bought by the precious blood. I said it was bought by the blood. Hallelujah, it's in my heart. And there's still a song. There's still a joy. There's still a praise. Can you say amen? Friend, it is God's will tonight that every last person in this house not leave those doors without everything being right between them and God. Friend, why would you let the enemy keep you from the joy God desires you to have? I'm closing. Sister Erica, would you help me? Friend, there is only one thing. Right over here, a guy in the white shirt. There's only one thing that can take your soul. Sin. And there's only one type of sin that can take your soul. You ready? Your sin. Brother Zane, you don't know how they lied on me. They sinned against me. Friend, I'm not saying it don't cut. I'm not saying you don't bleed. But there's only one thing that can take it. It's when you allow Satan a foothold in your life. David knew what it was like. He allowed sin in his life. But listen, Psalms 51 and 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Listen, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Oh God, if you'll make me right, if you'll make me clean, if you'll wash me in your blood, when I get up off that altar, My tongue's going to be able to sing the songs of Zion. Hallelujah to God. My tongue will be able to sing the songs of Zion. Friend, can I tell you, God desires you to have that. God wants you to have that. Listen to Isaiah 55 and 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. Listen, beloved, for he will abundantly pardon. I said he abundantly pardons. He is more than willing to set you free. God is more than willing to say, if you just come back tonight, you can leave this house with your song. Sister Erica, help me. Friend, why leave here tonight with a sad misery? Why leave here tonight with a stinging memory? Why let the devil have a sarcastic mockery over you? Why leave here tonight with a silenced melody? God desires that you turn everything over to him, and that you make it right, and that you leave this house tonight with that joy that you once had. I'll give one more scripture and I'll close. Isaiah 55 and 12. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Brian, when I made it right with God and I walked out of that little bitty church, I'm telling you what, when I looked up, it was as if the cloud, the trees themselves was clapping their hands telling me, way to go, Zane. Best move you ever made, boy. Best move you ever made, son. Best thing you ever did. It was as if, Brother McKelvey, it was as if birds over my head were smiling my direction, saying, good job, son. Way to go. Friend, your world looks different when you find your song. Your world looks different when you find your song again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Saints, I want you to help me pray. Friend, don't leave this house tonight with a silenced melody. I'm not saying you don't have troubles. I'm not saying you don't have trials. I'm not saying any of those things. But friend, there is a song that God puts in your heart, a song of deliverance. And for that willow that's been hanging on that harp, God's willing to reach over, put it back in your hand, and say, now you run on with joy. You're in this house tonight and you say, Brother Estes, I've lost my song. I've allowed something to come into my life. And I'll be honest with you, preacher, I just don't feel like I have my song like I used to. I've allowed the world, the flesh, the devil to take away from me something God wants put in me. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand quickly to heaven tonight. Bless you. God bless you. I've allowed things to come in, and I just don't have my joy like I used to. Allowed the enemy to overtake me. Hey friend, we've got hands, but there's others. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to call you out or separate you. But I'm asking you tonight, why don't you make it right with God? Why don't you turn over everything tonight? Why don't you leave this house with, as if it were, the trees of the field clapping their hands your way? You find joy unspeakable and full of glory. Anybody else quickly tonight? Is that it? Is that everybody? Young person? Young man? Young lady? Is there anything separating you from the peace God desires you to have? I heard your pastor make a statement many years ago. I've used it many times. Oh God, separate me from anything that would separate you from me. Going once. Coming back again. All hearts and minds clear. Those that raised their hands, those that did not, I'm going to ask every last one of us that would, from the back to the front, can we come in around these altars this evening and can we begin to seek the Lord all over this house? Perhaps you're here tonight and you have a loved one and they're away from God. They've walked away from God. Tonight would be a good night for you to pray for them. Tonight would be a great night for you to begin to seek the Lord for them. Come on, let's everyone that would, from the back to the front. If you're here and there's things between you and God, don't leave this house. Don't leave this house without getting everything underneath the blood. Don't leave this house without letting God touch your soul.
soul.